How do you try to describe an infinite God with finite words? Can you even get your mind around that idea of infinite? You know, if you're in science, it's the number 8 on its side. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't know, maybe one of the reasons why I love this verse in Amazing Grace, and you all know I love it because I say it quite often, and it goes like this. If you know it, say it with me. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Now listen, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Have any of you really actually thought about that verse before? Infinity. How do you describe an infinite God with finite words? Anytime you are trying to explain something to another person that they have never experienced, you always use analogies. Have you ever tried to explain if you go to a foreign land and you eat something that's very unique to that part of the country or that part of the world, and then you come back and you try to tell family members what it was like or what it tastes like and the texture and what do you say? Well, tastes like chicken. Boils down to that, right? Tastes like chicken. Anyway, whatever I say today, however we try to describe God ultimately limits who God really is. So if God is God, why are we talking about this today? Well, you know, it's Trinity Sunday, hello. But I wanted to talk about the Trinity today because it's something that the church has held up since its very beginning. I mean, they were what we talked about last week with Pentecost, right? Here they were. They'd experienced God as creator, as judge, as lawmaker. But suddenly they experienced God as Jesus, this man, this human being, this person that showed love and grace in all sorts of situations. And then that person died and they saw him go to heaven. And then on this day that we call Pentecost, God gave the Holy Spirit. And that was very evident in their life, physically and emotionally. So how does this church, this brand new church, wasn't even called the church yet, how does it describe their experience of God? I mean, we have God the Creator, we have this man that came to earth that was obviously God, and we have the Holy Spirit that's been given. So how do we, if God is one, how do we describe this God? How do we do that? Well, depending on what we believe about God affects our attitudes, affects our relationships, affects our actions toward other people. You see, God wants to be who He is through you and me. God wants to be who He is through you and me. And let's say that together. God wants to be who He is through you and me. Again, our understanding of God affects our attitudes. It affects our relationships. It affects our actions toward other people. When you have the wrong understanding of God, then you will have wrong attitudes and wrong actions toward other people. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. Is it? This is kind of a heady sermon, so I'm trying to be a little bit quippy here. But anyway, God wants to be who He is through you and me. You know, this war on terror that we've had going on for how many years now? Is it 10? Wow, 10 years? 9, 10 years? It is a God war. Have you ever thought about that? Surely you have. It's a God war. It's interesting that ancient wars were God wars, and I guarantee you that future wars are going to be God wars. This is a God war because Islamic fundamentalists believe that Americans and Jewish people are Satan. They are anti-God. They think we are enemies of their God. So when your understanding of God is not right, then your attitudes and actions toward other people are going to be wrong. Does that make sense?